Thank you, Jesus. This morning, as I was preparing and thinking, and I'm sipping on my coffee, I thought this is the season of Thanksgiving. And I was just thinking about the things I'm thankful for. And as I thought of the things I was thankful for, I can't help but give God praise. You know, I was talking to somebody, and they were in a down mood, you know, going through something. And I went home, and I'm thinking about them, and I'm praying about them. And the Lord said, the Lord brought a thought to my heart. You could never be an overcomer if you don't go through something and overcome it. We all want to be overcomers, but we don't want to go through anything. But to be an overcomer, you have to go through stuff. And when you go through stuff, and Jesus comes on the scene, you become an overcomer. But the thing about it is, we don't want to go through stuff. And if we do go through stuff, we would rather go through the easy stuff. I don't know about you, but here's some of our easy stuff. Your blood pressure is like borderline, and you go down to the doctor and he gives you some pills. Little side effect. We think that's easy stuff. You stump your toe, little bit of pain. We think that's easy stuff. We don't want to go through the hard stuff. But I pray that you are thankful that God takes you through the hard stuff. Because if you endure, you'll realize when you come through the other side that you're an overcomer. You know, when I was growing up, I was in the, we didn't have, I don't think we had the Boy Scouts. I was in the Boys Brigade in Trinidad and Tobago. But they always give you a little badge when you overcome something. You have some challenge you have to do, and then when you're finished, they give you a badge. Do you know we wanted that badge? But you never get that badge unless you have overcome the challenge. Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died. But come and lay your hands on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said in herself, "If I only touch the garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl rose. And the report of this went throughout all that district. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy, on us, son of David? When he entered the house, the blind men came to him and said, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it done to you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it. But they went away and spread his fame through all the district. And they were going away, behold, a dumb, oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute spoke. And the crowd marveled, saying, never was anything like this seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the prince of demons. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Father, we want to really get something from your word this morning. We don't want to leave here just hearing. We want to leave here hearing, believing, and taking action. So, Father, as we come to you, O God, help us that we would be just what the songwriter said. We wouldn't leave here like we came, in Jesus' name. And, Father, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing as I look at this scripture is that we have a religious man. And what I would say to us this morning for this point is we cannot let religion stop us from going to Jesus. Now, how do I know that? If you turn to Mark chapter 5:22. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, hopefully I say that right, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. A ruler of the synagogue. Remember now, this is a big shot in church. Maybe he was one of the head elders, as we put it here today. And the elders already probably has warned them, look, have nothing to do with Jesus. You see that Jesus? We already want to trap him. That Jesus is a false prophet, whatever they're telling him. And here he is have to decide, am I going to allow religion to stop me from going to Jesus? And guess what? His situation was an impossible situation. I could just imagine in today's society, hospice has been called in. They're there, and they're giving her just the type of medicine they give a person just to make them the pain go so they can be relaxed. And this Jew religious leader, with everything that he was taught, he saw something in Jesus, and he was about to say, I am going to get what Jesus has for me. And I would not allow my religion to take it away from me. And he comes to Jesus, and he says this, if you would come and touch my little girl, she will live. Now, he should have been the one that had the faith like the centurion. You know, the centurion says, Jesus said, I'll come. And the centurion said, no, you don't even have to come. Just say the word. But here we have a person who should have known the power of God and who should identify that God is among us. And all he had to say, just say the word and my daughter is healed. But his faith wasn't quite there. He believed that if Jesus would come and just touch, she will be healed. It was an impossible situation, but God can take the impossible and make it possible. How many of you here this morning feel like you are in a possible situation? And maybe some of the things you have been taught in the church is hindering you from going to Jesus. Well, this morning, I encourage you to put that aside and go to Jesus. And ask him, humble yourself, just like this religious person humbled himself, knelt before Jesus and said, if you would only come and put your hand to this situation, I know it's going to be all right. Next. We cannot let the doctors and what people say have the last word. We must believe in what Jesus can do. While he was saying these things, we'll go down a little further. As he rose and followed him, with his disciple, behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up to him and touched the fringe of his garment. Now, I like how Mark gives us a little bit more detail. Mark chapter 5 and verse 20. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. I'll find it soon. All right. Okay. And verse 24. And a great crowd follow him. And thronged about him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, rather grew worse. She have heard the report about Jesus. She have heard the report about Jesus. You know, when I read that, I remember that song. Whose report will you believe? You see, this woman had spent all that she had. She tried every doctor. She went to every specialist. And because she wanted to be free of her disease, she spent everything that she had. But then she heard a report. She heard that Jesus was on the scene. And she heard that everywhere he went, he was doing good. And she said in her heart, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. Now, the first guy said Jesus need to come and do the touching. You realize that? The first guy said, if Jesus could only come and touch. But her faith said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Now, she had a few things against her. Number one, she had already heard the reports of every doctor she went to. Not only that, she had the results of every doctor she went to. Her friends probably told her, give it up. She was a woman. Back then, that wasn't the highest place of any kind of authority. She was unclean because she had an issue of blood, and when a woman was in that state, they were unclean. But she did not take the report of the doctors. You know, Wednesday night, I wish you all were here. We were talking about following Jesus, and Carol gave a testimony that she was, they had to move from one area while they were in the military to another area. There was no housing. They told her she wouldn't have housing, she wouldn't find a doctor, she wouldn't do anything. And when she got there, they gave her keys to two places for her to have a choice. Jesus can make the impossible possible. She had heard the report that Jesus, about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garment, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about into the crowd and said, who touched my garment? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you ask, who touched me? Now that gives me some idea that what was going on. This wasn't no small crowd. This wasn't no little bit of people. And here is a woman that decided that I need to touch the hem of his garment. Have you ever been at the place in your life that you knew you had to touch heaven? And I bet you she had to push through the crowd. She didn't say, make way, make way, make way. She had to push through the crowd. She had to put effort in getting to Jesus. Sometimes we make the effort, a hindrance because we don't want to put in what it takes to touch Jesus. I remember it was coming time for the government to send me my paper to say if I'm staying or leaving. I wanted to go to Toccoa Falls College to study. And every morning at 6 o'clock, I would be at church. And I would be praying my heart out because I want to touch heaven. I'd be praying so desperately that afterwards people would come to ask me what was wrong. Nothing was wrong. I wanted to press through because I knew if I can touch heaven, my God can make an impossible situation possible. I know my God can turn things around, no matter how it looked. The letter came in the mail. I was afraid to open it. Because, you know, if I don't open it, I could say I didn't know. It wouldn't be on my conscience. I opened that letter, and I had a student visa to go to school. She knew she had to touch Jesus. And she showed her the challenges and she put the effort in that it took to reach through that crowd. I could imagine she could just see him in the distance and she's forcing her way through. I could just imagine she didn't even get very close. She saw him and she said, my hand could get there. And I could just see her stretching through and putting all her effort. And she touched hem of his garment, and she was whole. And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what has happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Woman, your faith. You know, sidebar, testimony is important. I could imagine that ruler, because it says here, while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house someone who says, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? I could just imagine. But he had just heard a testimony. I tell you, he had just heard a testimony. He had just heard how God had made the impossible possible. That testimony was just on time. And Jesus said to him, but overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Now you tell me this. Jesus is walking with you going to your house. He stopped because somebody had just taken up your time. They had the audacity to reach out to touch Jesus and be healed. But in the whole situation, you hear a testimony like no other. And then Jesus says to you, only believe. You know, the songwriter says, what he has done for others.
he can do for me.
I don't know about you, but I think that boosts his faith. When Jesus says, only believe, he said, I just saw what Jesus did without doing anything. Jesus didn't even touch her. She reached out to him, but here is Jesus, and he's saying, only believe. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw the commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep. Now, I don't understand how Jesus talked, because the child did. In fact, that was the report. And they laughed at him, but he put them all outside and took the child and the father and the mother. He took the child, the father, and he took the child's father and the mother, and those were with him, and went inside where the child was. He got rid of the distractions. You know, sometimes you got to get rid of the distractions. You got to get rid of the doubters. You know, one of the things that I don't know how true this is, but it's by experience. It seemed that when the atmosphere is charged with belief, it's easier to see God work than when the atmosphere is charged of doubt. Now, I see this when I go to VN. When I go to VN, it seems like we had no problem with anybody. We all hugging everybody. We all telling everybody how we love everybody. We all do it. I mean, the atmosphere is charged. In fact, while you're there, you don't even want to leave to come home, because everybody is just loving God. It has such a great atmosphere. It's easy for people to receive because of the atmosphere. I don't know, but I just see Jesus getting rid of that kind of atmosphere. Because what he needed to do was to bring in a different atmosphere. He wanted them to know that if you're in an impossible situation, even if hospice is around, and they gave the final word, that Jesus could still speak these words, and he can make the impossible possible. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumai, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. Jesus can turn your impossible situation into a miracle. One more, because we want to do communion, so we do one more from this passage. Don't let anything stop you from crying out for mercy. Don't let anything stop you from crying out for mercy. Matthew 9 and verse 27. And as Jesus was passing on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, have mercy on us, son of David. You know, I don't know about you, but I pray that prayer a lot. I pray that prayer a lot. When I was in the workforce out there, at Save-A-Lot and Sears, I even prayed it more. God, have mercy. And what I'm saying is, Lord, I know I don't deserve what I'm asking for, but I'm asking for mercy. The scripture said that mercy triumphs over judgment. And God, I want some mercy. They were blind, couldn't see. But they humbled themselves and said, God, have mercy on me. You know, when you cry out for mercy, one of the things that you're saying is, I'm guilty. I don't deserve this. What I need from you is something I don't deserve. When he entered the house, the blind men came to him and said, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Now they believe that God can take their blindness away. But what they wanted from God was mercy. Father, have mercy on us. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done unto you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it. But they went away and spread his fame throughout all the district. When Jesus does something, it is hard to keep your mouth quiet. When Jesus transforms your life, it should be hard to keep your mouth shut. When Jesus made your impossible possible, there's no way you can remain silent. My prayer is that some of you today will either say, Jesus, I need you to touch me. And some of you today, you're in a place and you would say, if only I can touch Jesus. And then others of you would just simply say, have mercy. Have mercy. See, I am thankful today that God had mercy on me. I'm thankful today that I was able to touch heaven. And I'm thankful today that at 12 years of old, Jesus touched me. And he is still doing it today. In spite of what you believe or what religion tells you, Jesus is still in the business of making the impossible possible. So as George and Ed comes, and go get them next door.